Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
This is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we will be ranking the top 5 Blur/Oasis songs.
Coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off. Actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off. Facts are exact. Top 5 face-off. Top 5 face-off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, rankers. Welcome back, and to any new rankers, welcome to the show. For all our new rankers, Squirrel, won't you tell them what we do and why we do it?
Well, rankers, this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything. Hurst and I are putting together an essential resource to solve arguments in the pub and for your listening pleasure. If anyone ever needs to decide what the best Blur or Oasis song was, they're about to find out. We will count down the top 5 Blur or Oasis songs, including the worst, and you, the ranker at home, can visit our website, top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote to say which of us is right. One of us is always right. It's up to you to decide which one. And then that will become the official top 5 list.
Heads up, if you're a betting person, bet on Squirrel.
Does seem to be that way.
He's now 5 in a row.
Yeah, place your bets right now, rankers. You're going to find out soon.
Going for the mighty...
Ah, good. Someone was saying that they wanted to find out what it was going to be. So now they have.
I can see this be the way forward. It's... I have got a 7 as well, so, you know. I don't win this week, keep voting for Squirrel and you'll find out what that is.
We can't jump straight into the results, Hurst. How terribly un-British that would be.
How uncouth.
What's the weather been like, mate?
It's been changeable. For the most part, it's been very hot and we've had some absolute scorchers. But today it has been absolutely fucking it down.
Right.
So, yeah, it has been on and off raining all day, but it has been raining hard. And I tell you, the plants love it. Now, I water those guys every day. I painstakingly go around and make sure they all get a drink so no one's struggling. But the rain came down today. And the difference it made to some of the plants, they look like different plants from yesterday. It's like, why is cloud water better than my water?
Maybe you should collect cloud water in one of those big barrels like I see people do.
Yeah, I think I will pick up a water butt from probably, my guess would be Home Bargains, because they've got one there that I've been sort of eyeing up that's not just a water butt, but it's got like a trough at the top that you can plant flowers in as well. So you can water it, and when the rain hits, anything that goes through goes into the water butt, but then you also get a pretty display on the top. So I'm sort of eyeballing that, but I have got other fish to fry at the minute. How's the weather been down south, anyway?
The weather down here has been very similar. Changeable. Very hot in the week. Raining this weekend when I wanted to do a goddamn barbecue. Thanks, weather. Pretty much what you said. Very hard rain or not.
Very British.
Well, that's the weather. Dealt with, ticked off on our top 5 face-off to-do list.
Ka-ching!
Go us. What's going on, Hurst? What's been going on where you are?
Well, I'm sorry to say that I have been cursing English sport over the last few days.
Oh.
I'm not meant to. All I've done was watch it. But I watched England playing India, who got absolutely abused. India scored over 1,000 runs and got us out pretty cheaply twice. Then I thought, I'll watch that Jack Draper match, even though I don't really like tennis, just to turn on and find out he'd already lost. I was like, well, I don't know if I can be blamed for that, but he might have been winning at the point I decided to have a look, and then suddenly he'd lost.
Right.
I thought, oh, Emma Raducanu, I like her. I'm going to watch her game. So I checked when it was on. I was like, oh, it's on now. Damn it. Turned on, she was 4-1 up in the second set, having lost the first on tiebreak. I was like, wicked. She proceeded to lose the next 5 games, and that's her out.
Oh.
God damn it. And then I watched the Lionesses last night playing against France, and they were rubbish up until the last 10 minutes, at which point they looked really good. But by then, they'd already lost. So I've not watched a single bit of sport that has pleased me.
That's very sad, Hurst.
That is sad, isn't it? So I am currently cursed for English sport, but I can't stop watching it because I like sport. And I know in my heart that it can't be my fault, but it has really felt like it's been my fault this week.
Well, I'm glad you didn't watch the F1 and ruin it for McLaren. So,
well, I was watching it up until about 20 laps in because I knew you were going to watch it. And then I went and had a bath instead. And in the time that I was doing that, Lando Norris went from not winning it to winning it. So that's just adding weight to my theory that I'm bad for English sport.
That you are cursed. Also, this podcast may be cursed, as we've discussed in the week, because perhaps one of us, like, inadvertently ran over an audio witch or wizard who put a curse on us and just continuously ruins our audio for the rankers.
I think we can both be fairly confident that it was me that ran her over.
Oh, Hurst, stop running people over.
It's mostly been my audio, and I have lost every episode since I did it.
Yes, but that's true. But last week it was my audio. Even when last week should have been the first one where everything was right, and then I used the wrong microphone by accident, and it all sounded very shit. So I apologise for that, Rankers. That was my B.
But did it make a difference to the results?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, you're saying as the person who sounds the worst loses?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll find out shortly, Hurst. But first, I want to tell you about something I overheard in the kebab shop.
Oh, yes, please.
All right, strap in for this. Now, it's a bit of a posh kebab shop, Hurst. Out front, you can kind of go in and order your kebab like normal, but you can go through into a seated area and they will bring you your kebab on a plate with, like, sides and salt and pepper and shit, just like a restaurant, would you believe it, Hurst?
Hang on, I'm really struggling. A posh kebab shop.
Posher. It certainly wasn't posh.
Okay. The things you're saying do represent a slightly higher class of food establishment than your traditional kebab shop, but posh and kebab, it's an oxymoron. That's a jarring pair of words, that. Sorry, did carry on. Anyway, you were sitting there with your knife and fork.
Well, something along those lines. I was actually there with Craster, who doesn't listen to the show because doesn't agree with a goddamn thing I say ever. But Craster goes in. Craster, very intelligent, clever person, goes in, orders 25 quid worth of food, realizes he has to leave for his train. So basically ate about 4 minutes worth of food and then just kind of off he went. So I'm sat there on my own and I'm eating my food. I'm eating his food, let's face it. And in the lack of conversation that followed as I ate his chips, I could hear the conversation on the table behind me. Now, I couldn't see anything that was going on. But enter now into this chronicle, Northern and Essex. Obviously, I didn't set eyes on them, but as you may have guessed, I've named them for their accents. Now,
right.
Northern sounded very pleased and very drunk, and he was explaining to Essex that he and his wife had been in an open relationship since just before Christmas. This, Northern was assuring Essex, who was also very drunk, was great. He was free to chat up any bird he liked. These were his words, what a charmer. Without fear of repercussion. The only stipulation that Northern and his wife was that if he or his wife decided to sleep with somebody else, they would discuss it first. This romantic liaison could be vetoed by the partner for any reason at all. No need for an explanation, right? They can just shut it down. That was the deal. Northern was infusing to Essex that the idea that men might sleep with his wife was very empowering, as he knew that when all was said and done, his wife would return to him.
This is a terrible, terrible idea for them.
Keep listening.
Okay. I'm just voicing some of my concerns right now before the story continues that I think that this isn't going to end well.
This is a direct quote from Northern. I won't do the accent, but he said, "They may have fucked her like, but I get to live with her." At that point, I'm trying not to fucking laugh, right? Because I'm like, mate. Now, Essex was being a good friend. He was interested. He asked if Northern was ever jealous, and Northern assured him no, for the reasons he just described. In the morning, she would still be his wife. So then Essex asks how often Northern had taken advantage of the stupendous freedom he found himself in, and Northern admitted that it hadn't been often. Upon some further questioning, the exact number of ladies that had agreed to sleep with him in the 7 months since the arrangement had been in place was 2, and his wife vetoed both of them. Again, I quote, "The first one I understand as she was banging. The second time was strange because she was a very plain lass, but my missus thought she had a negative vibe." At this point, right, I'm utterly ready to just turn around and go, mate. But fortunately, Essex got in there first and he started trying to explain what a cuck was, whilst apparently not being able to remember the word cuck. But anyway, Norman was not to be discouraged. He fought his corner with vigour. Finally, Essex asked the question that I wanted to know, what you want to know, and all the rankers now want to know. How many people has your wife slept with? Only 5. Northern cries, convinced of his relationship victories. There was silence for a moment. Eventually, I shit you not, broken by the WhatsApp noise, and Northern going, oh. And Essie's going, what is that? Can I sleep in your spare room tonight? Like, and then he read this text out. I'm going to fuck Simon from work tonight again. Don't come home. Oh, so I would like to thank Cresta for leaving me in that kebab shop because it was amazing.
Oh, I feel so bad for Northern.
Well, of course. This is not going to... No.
No, she is just...
She's humping Simon from work, mate.
This isn't like a can I?
Again.
This is happening again. I'd be going,
there was no opportunity to veto.
No teasies. Just that it's a relationship.
Oh,
that's coming so badly.
Oh, my God. Oh, surely it is, right?
Maybe Essex's name is Simon.
And they work together.
Oh, great story. Oh.
Mm.
Oh, we might as well just sign off now because nothing we've got to say is going to be better than that.
That was one of my favourite things that's happened this year. It was absolutely incredible. Oh. I almost turned myself inside out trying not to laugh. First.
Gosh. So that's what's been going on. That's the weather. Anything been burbing you now? Anything been getting on your tits this week?
Well, what's been twisting my nostril hairs is the fact that I'm sure I had a good thing to say for gripping my shit, but I can't remember it and I've forgotten. So, no, that's quite annoying. That happens. If I don't write stuff down, I fucking, unless it gets drilled into my head like Northern and Essex, but like, I'm gonna forget. Welcome to being old. Hey, hang on a minute. That's the other thing we do. What makes you feel old? Well, that makes me feel old. I forget stuff.
Yeah, that happens all the time. There you are. What's been making me feel old this week is that both Definitely Maybe and Park Life came out in 1994 and are 31 years old.
Yes, this is something I noticed also.
And this was peak secondary school time for us. This was around the GCSE, your first year of GCSEs, wasn't it?
That's right.
So, yeah, that's been making me feel pretty old. Along with the fact that also Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up, classic song from when we were kids, like at parties and stuff, 38 years old.
God. Strange, because we're not getting old.
Just the world's getting younger.
Is that what it is? Yeah, sure. Why not? That does sound better than we're getting old. I will take it. Before we move on to the results, Hurst, anything gripping your shit this week?
No, just mostly the dog stuff. They have got themselves into some annoying habits, especially Fonzie. Now, Carly's gone on holiday without me because...
Oh, bye, Carly.
She obviously needs a break.
Hmm.
Anyway, I digress. So she's away, which means that the dogs are entirely my responsibility at the moment. And they've gotten to some habits that they've apparently been allowed to get into. One of them is that Eddie likes to go to the toilet just bang in the middle of the night. And where we used to have a dog flap, he could. And now he can't. So he wakes me up. Although the last couple of nights, it's not been quite so bad. But Fonzie's taken over instead. Now, for anyone who hasn't met Fonzie, when he wants attention or forgets where he is or is lonely or just wants to be a dick, he sings the song of his people. In fact, I might be able to play a quick rendition of what that sounds like. Let me just...
We've had him on the podcast. He was in an outtake singing the song of his people. Fonzie's a husky, for those of you that haven't set eyes on him.
I can't fucking find it. I don't care. Anyway, hold on. It's like... painfully loud, high pitch, and it penetrates the house like crazy. And this wasn't really so much of a problem in the last house because it was a detached house. So no one else is really affected by this. But we are now attached, semi-detached house, and we have neighbours. So when Fonzie starts screaming blue murder at 1 a.m, my instinct of shut up in a minute is gone and replaced with leaping out of bed before my eyes are even open to run downstairs and shut him up. And then you go back to bed, but you're just constantly thinking, is he settled now? Is he settled? And just as you're dropping off, you're row, row, row. When it's like, oh, he's doing it again. That's the start, the row rows, we call it.
Right.
That's the start of his noise. You go row, row, row. And then it goes into a row, 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 row. It goes, no, Eddie. I've just said Eddie off. Bless you, Eddie. No, it's me, not Fonzie. That was quite an accurate impression because it got Eddie's attention really well.
Yeah, it was. I was impressed.
Anyway, boring story short, they're waking me up at all times of the night. Just I'm constantly tired and even my naps aren't really cutting the mustard at the moment.
Sad times.
Yeah, so that's been steaming my clams.
Do we have some results first?
Yeah, go on then. Let's see what people have been saying and let's see the results.
Right. First of all, because I forgot to do it last time and the time before, very rude of me, Hurst, I'd like to thank The Vision for suggesting that we cover wrestlers and GazChat for suggesting that we cover TV themes. Sorry for not mentioning you on the episode, guys. Don't forget to choose new things to go on the wheel. Top five wrestlers, Hurst. Let's have some comments. Not so many comments this week. Let me just hit refresh in case anything has changed. It has not. All right. First comment, as it often is from our
Meg.
Good friend, ranker, Meg98. That's no, right.
Meg's always in on
she
that.
She votes for you, Hurst. And she says, I don't really do wrestling, but I've heard of The Rock. So here we are. And then she says, P.S. Shut up, Hurst.
So Touché, Meg. Well played. But also, she's working the voting system right. She's not taking offence and going, well, I'm just going to vote for Squirrel because Hurst's just rubbish.
I guess it's kind of right. I mean, she voted for you purely because she'd heard of The Rock.
She had to vote. She voted on watching you. You can only work with the information you have.
In a very recent episode, you tell her that she was literally voting wrong.
Possibly. I tell people that a lot. Because they keep on, well, not voting wrong. They're just not hearing it right, which is affecting their votes. They're listening to the lists a bit wrong, which is why I've lost five in a row. And maybe because I keep telling people they're not listening to things right. Maybe because of the microphone. Maybe because I ran over a witch. Who knows?
Maybe because you ran over that wedge. Yeah.
Now we need to find out if it is the microphone.
Excellent. Patreon Dav Paz has a comment. He votes for me and says he almost didn't. I almost didn't vote for Squirrel as Hulk Hogan is such a massive sack of monkey spunk. Hard agree.
True story.
But I have a strong memory of the match between Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6 being the most important thing to ever happen when I was 10 years old. Man had star power. Mankind was the clincher as no one had done more for wrestling than good old Mick Foley and his broken, mangled body. Thank you very much, Dav Paz. Quite correct on all of those points, I feel. And one final comment, only three comments this week, Hurst. Another vote for me from The Vision, who of course asked us to do this. Now get ready to be somewhat pissed off with this one, Hurst. I actually preferred Hurst's list slightly, but I'm more intrigued to find out what you call six losses in a row, so here I am.
That's what the show's become now.
But you gave it to him for free, Hurst.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you win, I'll beep it out, and then they won't know, and it will continue to be a mystery.
Yeah.
Take that, rankers. Are they going to find out?
Super patrons, we might tell them.
Are you ready, Hurst, for the results?
I'm ready.
You got 19 votes.
Okay.
I got 18 votes.
The streak is over. It's spell. What the Hurst is ranking.
Very good. Did you have that one planned?
No.
Good job. Well done.
I lived that one.
So yes, indeed, Hurst, you are the winner just by 1 point again, 2 weeks in a row. It's only been 1 point.
I didn't think I cared until I won.
Well.
And it feels like a massive weight is lifted.
Excellent. Are you prepped? Are you ready to give us the top five wrestlers officially?
I am. I almost deleted it. Every week so far, I've just kept it alive just in case. And then I've gone to the point where I was like, oh, delete. So the top five wrestlers are number five, The Undertaker. Number four, Jake the Snake Roberts. Number three, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Number two, Jeff Hardy. And number one, The Rock.
It's certainly not a list I'm angry about. It's a great list and it is the official top five.
Oh, damn. Gosh. It's a new dawn.
You don't get to do an acceptance speech. We just move on.
No, you wait till you've lost five in a row and decide who gets to do an acceptance speech.
It's not going to happen, is it? Anyway. Shall we settle some controversies from the mid-90s, my friend?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's get ranking.
We're ranking Blur and Oasis songs. I think, remember with the Spice Girls, we did a bit of a backstory for the younger rankers who just weren't there. They don't know, man.
Yes.
Blur and Oasis were massive news in the British music scene in the 90s. Blur from London, Oasis from Manchester, and they had this massive rivalry that was hyped up by the media, of course, because it helped to sell magazines and probably more records and so on. And theoretically, you were supposed to like one or the other, but that's not really how it went. But they were Britpop at its finest and have really stood the test of time. So, yeah, I mean, where did you land on the whole Blur and Oasis thing? Were you one or the other?
I like metal, so I thought they were both shit.
All right. Okay.
Back then, my musical tastes have matured, fear not. Just out of interest, Blur and Oasis, obviously massive, absolutely buried in the 90s by the Spice Girls in terms of singles.
Yeah, absolutely. The Spice Girls were much bigger in singles, sales, general coverage everywhere in the world.
But yes, it was very much a discussion point among the fans of those two bands. It was like Nintendo and Sega.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was one side, team one or team the other.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's not like, this is like the precursors to things like Kanye and 50 and...
Or Kendrick and Drake, if you're more in touch with the youth.
Like Jordan versus whoever was against Jordan back in the basketball days.
Kobe.
Yeah, there was proper rivalry and they, you know, gloves were off. They hated each other, but they both produced some excellent music.
Yes, and I do believe they did hate each other as well, or at least the Gallagher brothers from Oasis certainly seemed to hate everybody and probably hated as well.
Including each other, so that
each other, yes, and the rest of their band.
It wasn't an elite list to be on if they hated
you. No, that is certainly true.
Anyway, so that's a little bit of background on it.
Yes.
I like both of them. I was probably slightly more into Oasis than Blur. I did see Oasis when they played at Earl's Court, that time where they registered on the Richter scale. That was cool. They had the Bootleg Beatles as their support band, and they finished on Hey Jude. And in the 15 minutes between them going off and Oasis coming on, the crowd just sang, na-na-na-na-na-na for 15 minutes. And it was fucking brilliant. Did have a lot of fun with that at the time. But enough digression. Let's decide who's going first.
First, I am holding the Coin of Destiny.
Flip it, squirrel.
Here's heads first.
Right, my number five is Song 2 by Blur. It's 2 minutes and 1 second long, which is one of the things I love about it. It's a pocket rocket. 2 minutes of head-banging goodness. It's about the rockiest song they did. They were much more kind of the Britpop. Band, they were much more indie Britpop, but that is a proper just want to mosh to it. And what I love about it being 2 minutes is, again, this is one that our Energy Army youngsters won't really understand, is when we were in the mid to late 90s, we were making mixtapes for the ladies.
Yeah, or the men.
We wanted them to know what we liked and show our affection for them. But you'd have a problem with cassette that you'd get towards the end of it and you would have to make a decision as to, do you want to cut a song off halfway through it, or do you want dead air?
No.
Or do you want to have a little bank of under 2 minute songs that you can squeeze in there to maximize your efficiency and really show that you care? And Song 2 is just one of those songs. Quick shout out to the Lemonheads and their album Shame About Ray, where the longest song is 3 minutes 20, and they've got stacks of songs that I've used to fill the end of mixtapes. So well played, the Lemonheads. It's a great little tune. That's my number five.
Can't argue with it. You perhaps talked for 2 minutes as well, so maybe in the background the ranker's got to hear the whole goddamn thing.
I did think that. At number five, I can probably just make 2 minutes and hopefully it'll finish just in time.
Alrighty. My number five is also by Blur. First, I have chosen Girls and Boys, which has a much more of a dance vibe to Song 2's grunge vibe. Girls and Boys is a song written by all of Blur, which are Frankers, Damon Albarn, Graham Coxon, Alex James, and Dave Rowntree. And they do seem to share a lot of the writing responsibility.
Alex James off of Now Classic FM and Gardener's World, amongst other things.
Yes, he's a farmer. He's a cheese farmer as well.
And he's doing like
cheese
a
cheese farmer. That's probably a thing.
Yeah, he's a cheese farmer. He farms cheese from his cheese plants. Yeah, he's got a festival of his own this year on his farm. Looked like it might be quite good. Anyway, digression.
Yes, Girls and Boys. It came out in 1994. It's got to number 5 in the charts. Not a bad effort there. March 94. That's a very long time ago. It's a song about going on holiday with your mates. It's fun. It's dancey, it's bouncy. The chorus is easy to sing along to, which you'll see will become a theme as I go through my list. It's some undertones. themes of it being okay for guys to sleep with lots of girls when they're in Magaluf or Benidorm or wherever they've gone on holiday, but it's not okay for girls to do the same thing. A little bit of that, but mostly it was just a fun, happy song, and I really like it, and that's why it's number 5. This week, Hurst, I will be doing Worst Rhyme in each song. Nice. Remember how we had Posswatch? We're having Worst Rhyme here. And in Girls and Boys, they rhyme Love in the 90s with On Sunny Beaches. Beaches do not rhyme with 90s.
Yeah, that's a bad rhyme, but then not all poetry has to rhyme.
This is true. Some of the songs don't rhyme at all.
Yeah.
But you'll hear the worst rhymes of all of them.
Yeah.
Apart from the ones that literally don't.
I think Girls and Boys is probably one of the ones that has the most classic Blur sound. It was kind of the sound of Parklife. That album had its own sound of
years.
I think that's where they peaked. And like the songs were good, but the album was greater than the sum of the songs. If Falling Adrift.
I hear ya.
Well, my number 4 is also from Parklife album from 1994. It's 3 minutes and 25 seconds of Blur goodness, and it's the song Bad Head. The most underrated song they did, especially from the Parklife album. I listened to it last week for the first time in probably 20 years or so, because it's never on the best of albums.
It's not a single either, is it?
No, it wasn't a single, it wasn't a B-side, I think it was just an album track. But after 20 years, I still knew all the words. Oh. It's got a quality Blur intro with a bit of brass. It encompasses the overall sound of the Parklife album that I was just mentioning. But it's still great to sing along to, because you've got things like Parklife, which were a bit more talky, and Damon Albarn's got his own sort of little quirky way of talking, singing.
Mm.
Whereas Bad Head, you could just sing along to. Less talky but quirky, great tune, great relatable lyrics, and just a cracking brass intro that really bears little resemblance to the rest of the song, but I like that. So yeah, for me, number 4, Bad Head.
Right, cool. An interesting sideways choice. Much like when we did the Spice Girls, and I was desperately looking for a non, you know, popular song to choose from these bands. Just couldn't. Because the popular ones were popular for a really good reason, it turned out.
There were a few that came close in there, like from that album, I won't go into them now, but that one, yes. I thought, as I listened to it, I thought, you know, I love this song. I always loved this song. I was pleased to have it back in my life.
You know what song I love, Hurst?
Go on.
My number 4 pick. Also by Blur. Lots of Blur discussion so far. My choice is Country House, which is just... He's pulling a face. He's pulling a face, Rankers. I'm going to struggle on. Country House, August 95, from Blur, written again by Oliver. Their best-selling single, first. Got to number 1, one of 2 Blur songs to do so. I just like how upbeat and fun it is, even though it's not an especially upbeat and fun topic. Actually about a guy called David Balfe, or David Balfe, who used to own the Food record label, which Blur was signed to. But after Parklife came out, he sold it to EMI, I think. And he moved to Bedfordshire. In fact, he moved to Barton le Clay, which is just up the road from me. So there you are. I didn't know that until this week. I like it. I like the chorus. I like that you can sing along. I like the weird harmonising bits they do at the end that you can join in with. Yes, I like it. I just think it's a fun little song.
Huh.
Would you like to hear the worst rhyme before you tell me why I'm wrong?
Go for it.
Good rhyming in this one, to be honest. The worst rhyme is mortality and remedy. And they're pretty damn similar. So
yeah.
Good work on the rhyming in this one, Blur.
If they were rappers, you wouldn't even think twice about that.
No, that would be perfectly fine. But like I said, that was just the worst because all the rest were good. Good rhyme.
Hmm. I'll tell you why you're wrong in a little bit.
Will you? I thought you
would. Right, okay. Number three for me. This is my first Oasis entry from the second album, What's Story? Morning Glory. And it is Don't Look Back in Anger. And 47 seconds, so it's just under that 5 minute mark where songs become into that epic area. So 1995 song, along with Wonderwall, getting guys with rudimentary guitar skills laid since 1995. Basically, it was at that point when we must have been 16, 17, that sort of age. All you needed was an acoustic guitar, a bonfire, some white lightning, and a whole heap of brooding teenage angst. And thank you very much, Oasis. The ladies were putty. When you can only play a few chords, Don't Look Back in Anger and Wonderwall changed the game for teenage boys, and I love them for that. Listening to it now, you want to sing along to it. Wonderwall is almost a bit too cliche. It is a good song, but it's not as good as Don't Look Back in Anger. So that one became my number three for fairly nostalgic reasons, but listening still holds up.
Great. Good choice. Can't argue. Apart from the bit about being able to play guitar, because I can't do that, so I've never experienced the joy of being a rudimentary guitar player and using it to woo the ladies.
Oh, they love it.
Or the men, whatever you fancy doing at home, Rankers, I don't mind.
The woo is real.
You're not playing your crappy guitar near me, let's put it like that. Ugh. Car people, honestly. Let's talk about my number three pick, is Park Life by Blur. This is probably their song that everyone knows the most. Maybe you could make an argument for song two. I reckon it would be close. Park Life came out in August 1994. The album, also called Park Life, was released earlier in April. Park Life only got to number 10. Can you believe that, Hurst?
That is,
considering how popular it is.
Yeah. That is strange. I think because it was one of the early albums before all the hype kicked in, maybe.
And
it
maybe
didn't have a chance to whip up enough to get there. But also, indie doesn't need to be number one. Let the pop people do that. Let your Westlife have it.
Let's be fair, neither of these bands was actually indie hurst. They were owned by massive labels.
Yeah.
They were manufactured as much as the Spice Girls were, just in a different way.
But you're using indie literally, whereas indie was really a sound of the 90s.
It certainly was. Anyway, Park Life. As you know, I love a sing-along hurst. Discuss that. I don't care if it's in the pub or at a wedding or in my car. Park Life hits that mark, right? It's a song about what the it does. It just does. Hurst is giving me looks, right?
It's just there's so much fun of chat. Park the Life. Chorus, yeah, you can sing along to, but the rest of it is more, you've got to wait and listen for them to stop talking so you can sing along.
You got to listen to Phil Daniels, who is an actor who was probably most well known for being in EastEnders, right? He was Kevin Wicks, I want to say, in EastEnders. He was in Quadrophenia as well, but he does the talking bit for the verses.
I love a bit of it.
Yeah, that's it. Who's that gut lord marching? That's him. He's talking about walking through Hyde Park and all the things you might see.
It is a great tune.
Park Life. And then the chorus comes in, which is the very singable part because it's so incredibly sort of, oh, the paper. It doesn't matter how drunk you are, easily sing along with Park Life. Good work.
Yeah.
Worst rhymes for Part Life. Literally no two lines rhyme in the entire song. But that's okay, because it's not that kind of song. So yeah, nothing to say about the worst rhymes, because there aren't any rhymes. Part Life. I like it. Fair enough. I will sing if it comes on.
I have not a problem with that.
All right.
My number two is also an Oasis song. This one is from Definitely Maybe, the first album, out in 1994. Mm. It is Live Forever.
Maybe I don't really want to know how you got in grows, because I just want.
Seconds, so it's a good length for a song, and it is the song that got me into Oasis. Funnily enough, I was at a Levellers concert in Brixton Academy. Prior to them coming in, they played Live Forever over the PA system, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew that I loved it and I had to find out. Sadly, there was no Shazam back in 1994, so it took me ages to try and find out what the song was. Oh, I wish I knew what that song was. I wish I knew what that song was. And then someone played and said, what is the song? What is the song? And obviously, the following Saturday, I was off down to HMV with my cash and I bought the album. I played the shit out of it and I loved it. There are so many great songs on it, but Live Forever was that one. That was what opened the Oasis door for me, and never looked back in anger.
I heard you say it, Ernst.
Yeah, no, that's it. I'm not gonna bang on. It's such a great song.
My number two, Hurst, seems appropriate. My number two is Song 2, which is 2 minutes long, as discussed, and got to number two in the charts. And it was released on April the 7th. Ugh. They were doing so well with their twos. Could they not have come up with another two on their release date? It's a parody song. It's a joke song. It's a send-up of grunge, and none of it makes sense, and that's the point. And they accidentally made an absolute banger out of a parody song, which must be really quite confusing for them. Like, everyone wants to hear it at the concerts and stuff. They're like, this is our joke song. We did this for a laugh.
Shit, we were rock about grunge.
Yes.
People like it.
Right? One of their best songs is just a grunge send-up, and they did it really well. I mean, it's such a simple song. It's so, like, there's no real, how to put this without being offensive, there's no real skill to it. It's quiet, then it's really loud, and it's quiet again, then it's really loud.
And it's got a good chorus, although it's not one you can sing along to, because the note he's hitting when he's woo-wooing, you can't do.
Very high.
It's a really impressive piece of vocal work.
Yes, good guitar work, and the song is very well done. It's just, you know, a joke, and it's there, well, in my opinion, fantastic. It's one of the best by Blur.
And we could slam it in the end of a mixtape.
Probably moved on to CDs, by then, because I was a nerd, wasn't I? By 97, out by 97, definitely. Yeah, which is great, and I really like it. I like it short, I like it because it's rocky, grungy, I guess is the correct term. Yeah, brilliant.
Grunge is a form of rock. You're right.
Yes, absolutely, yes. The worst rhyme in the chorus, they rhyme metal and needles. Those two words don't.
They do not rhyme.
I'm in heavy metal. Woo-hoo. I'm all pins and I'm needles. Woo-hoo. thing about Song 2 is it doesn't feel as old as it is, I don't think. Song 2 still sounds quite modern and...
It's very detached.
It's about 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's very detached from the rest of Blur's work.
Absolutely.
Which feels very much of its time, not in a bad way, in as much as that sound was unique to them at that time, whereas Song 2 is not. It's a song that could still, like you say, have come out last week, and you go, no, that's very much in keeping with the sort of thing you might hear now.
That's right.
He says about as a man who listens to almost no new music.
All right. Well, even though I've got a fair idea, would you like to tell me about the worst song from Blur or Oasis?
Yes, let's do the worst. My least favourite song is Country House.
I don't think this has happened before, Hurst. I was trying to think.
I don't think I've ever had
a worst that's been on the other person's list.
No.
Oh, well, at least we've gotten to the bottom of what you're going to be wrong about this week.
I mean, to be honest, I'm going to disclaim a little bit that perhaps I didn't listen to all of their songs and there might be worse ones, because I was so confident in the ones I liked that my list of about 10 to 15 songs was what I focused on, and then I might have rushed it a little bit at the end. So I could be wrong, but I don't like that song, and I don't like it because it sounds like Blur doing a caricature of Blur, and where they did a caricature of grunge and it was awesome.
See, I like that.
It's got knobblies and eats lots of cheese in the country. Yeah, and like rhymes for the sake of rhymes, Blur sounding like Blur. It feels like they just phoned it in. I can't believe it got to number one. It's
their best-selling song.
Which is funny, because every time that they do a character of a song, it's really popular and everyone loves it.
Yes,
that one they took the piss out of themselves, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like it. So you're wrong.
Right. I would say the rankers will decide, but they won't, because
the worst doesn't make any
difference. No. The worst is just for fun, rankers. When you go to rank, don't think, ooh, I'm not voting for Hurst because I really like Country House. Although in this situation, that kind of does work.
Yeah,
because
it does.
It's on my list. Yeah.
In this case, you could prove me wrong, because if your list comes in, then by default, I'm wrong.
Got to admit that officially, the fourth best Blur or Oasis song is Country House.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
I'll tell you what the worst is, Hurst. It's by Oasis, and it's an album track called Little James. Do you know that one? James is from Standing on the Shoulder of Giants in the 2000, by which point I think it's fair to say that Oasis were cracking downward. They finally let Liam Gallagher have a go at writing an Oasis song. This is his first solo writing credit. And it's shit. It's just a shit song. It's about the kid he had, his son James, he had with Patsy Kensit. Was the lady that Liam Gallagher was married to, or were they married? I don't know.
They were certainly buffing.
They were, because, you know, out popped James. He just spouts nonsense throughout the entire thing. You were talking about rhymes for the sake of rhymes just a minute ago. One of the lyrics is, you live for your toys, even though they make noise. Fuck off. What the fuck sort of dull-ass lyric is that? Fuck. It's not a bad song musically. It's just badly written. Yeah.
Lyrically like weak.
And it ends... in some ways, kind of trying to be a na-na-na-na-na sing-along, like, hey, Jude, guess what?
Doesn't work.
It ain't. Yeah. Shit. Little James, be ashamed of yourself for many things, Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lyric that's already got my back up.
Oh, there are many. But yeah, that was the worst one. My worst, Hurst. Little James.
But that doesn't matter. None of that matters.
It doesn't matter.
All that matters is the top five. And it's time for... the fanfare.
Let's hear it, Hurst.
My number one, from the album Definitely Maybe by Oasis in 1994, weighing in at 6 minutes and 32 seconds, so long. Slide Away.
Mm.
best song and the best album from me, the better band of the two. It is the signature sound of Oasis. It's got the jangly guitars, driving rhythm, and it's got some great harmonies in it. It's so easy to sing along with, and in the same way that Bohemian Rhapsody does not feel like a long song, Slide Away does not feel like a long song. Now, I'm not saying Slide Away is Bohemian Rhapsody, because obviously it's not.
That would be ridiculous.
Ridiculous, but considering Oasis have always been considered fairly simple songs, like following the Beatles vibe of simple sing-along, and actually both Oasis and Beatles are not as easy to learn as you'd think, apart from Wonderwall and a couple of others. Considers Slide Away to be his best song, considering he wrote all of the good songs they did. That's pretty good going. And he said, Slide Away is probably the best song I have ever written, and if he thinks it's his best, and I think it's his best, it must be his best, right? Well, we'll find out what you think.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's such a good song. I love it. Love that whole album. I was listening to it in the car on the way up north of Carly when we went on holidays. Like, should we just stick on Definitely Maybe? Just listen through the album like you used to back when you'd get a tape or a CD.
Yeah.
So good. Even the not very good songs have nostalgia, and it makes up a great album. So, Slide Away. Would you like a fact and an estimated fact about Slide Away?
Yes, I would.
Fact. Noel Gallagher wrote Slide Away about his relationship with long-term girlfriend Louise Jones. Fact. The name Slide Away was an in-joke between Noel and Liam from when they were kids. They used to visit Coral Reef Waterworld in Manchester, and one of the lifeguards on the water slides used to say, Slide Away, when the slides were clear for the next person to go.
Now, it's good, Hurst, because I'm certainly not sure. Do remember that Oasis would often sneak in little things that only meant something to them into their song. So I'm going to go with that second one about the water park guy.
The fact is, Noel Gallagher wrote Slide Away about his relationship with long-term girlfriend Louise Jones.
Even your dog thinks it's funny that I can't get these right.
Yeah, I'm such a good liar.
Yeah, well done. All right, solid song. What about me, everyone? Well, keen-eared rankers may have noticed that my list has been notably absent of one of the two bands that we're talking about today, because if I had to pick, I would absolutely pick Blur over Oasis, because I know I think Oasis were just dicks. But
they were. But I like this. This means we might have a proper rivalry thing, mightn't we?
We might have a proper rivalry. Fair, my number one song, Don't Look Back in Anger. Ooh, by Oasis.
Yes, mate.
Sing-along, Hurst, and this is top-tier sing-along. This is on the smallish list of songs that you can play last at a wedding, and everyone will sing, and then they'll go home, along with Bohemian Rhapsody, of course, and occasionally, what do I mean, Mr. Brightside by Killers. So I start a revolution from my bed, because you said the brains I had went to my Again, I digress. As this was out on February the 19th, just after Valentine's Day in 1996. But to number one, it was written by Noel Gallagher, because of course it was, because it's good. And it's about a boy that was with a girl called Sally, and it didn't work out, and now the boy's moved on. But Sally is full of regret, Hurst, and she shouldn't have left him and wants them to get back together. The boy is with a new girl. It's too late as we're walking on by. Sally is sad about this, but just wants to remember the good times. Doesn't want him to look back in anger.
Unlucky Sally.
Unlucky Sally. Noel admits that certain lines from the song are lifted wholesale for an interview he heard John Lennon doing. I will quote from Noel. He says, I got this tape in the United States that had apparently been burgled from the Dakota Hotel and someone had found these cassettes. Lennon was starting to record his memoirs on tape. He's going on about trying to start a revolution from the bed because they said the brains I had went to my head. I thought, thank you, I'll take that. So there you are.
All right.
That's how the writing process works.
Who knew that Oasis liked the Beatles?
No, right? As I just said, Oasis sometimes put things into their songs, and I know that because I know this. Peggy Gallagher, their mother, used to line the Gallagher family up in front of the fireplace when she wanted to take Christmas pictures, right? And they would mess about, and she'd be like, get that stupid look off your face. So stand up beside the fireplace, take that look from off your face. Doesn't make any sense in the song, actually, now we stop and think about it, and it's there because of that reason. So there you are. It's just a great sing-along song.
It's
very
cracking.
Nice. It's just a fucking good song. That's basically all there is to say about it. Apart from the worst rhyme, Hurst.
Oh, God.
Good rhymes in this one, to be honest. To the extent where the worst is go and nose. As in, to know something. It's not bad. It's got an S on the end and technically a slightly different inflection, but good job.
I think songs that rhyme too hard, like they're too focused on making the rhyme exact, don't work as well. I think you have to have a bit of creative license with your rhymes. I don't mind it.
All right. You're more of a freestyle kind of guy.
Yeah.
Ready for your fact and your estimated fact, Hurst.
I'm ready.
Fact. Title of the song, Don't Look Back in Anger, was inspired by a line in a letter John Lennon wrote to Yoko Ono during their temporary breakup. Noel supposedly saw the quote on display at a Beatles exhibition. Or, fact. It's the first Oasis single where Noel Gallagher sings most of the vocals instead of Liam. Hurst is doing a thinking face at home, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, because he didn't sing many to start with. I know he did a few, and actually they're often the best ones.
This is the best one.
I think it's the first single he sang.
That's the fact is, it's the first Oasis single where Noel Gallagher sings lead vocals instead of Liam. The other one was made up, where I couldn't say his name.
But it was...
You won't hear that until the end of the episode, Rackus.
It was a good lie because you kind of expanded on something you talked about with John Lennon before, so it was a plausible lie.
Excellent. Well, Rankers, there are our lists. First, every week we thank our excellent Patreons from the official supporter hub. They remain and are Davpaz, The Vision, and Kovach, still paying $7 a month. Thanks, Kovach.
Good work,
Kovach. Thanks to the rest of you. First, we have a competition.
I was going to say, you've just reminded me of something that I'm ill-prepared for. I better go and get some paper.
Oh, no. This is an ill-prepared week. Stop. Wait a minute. Now, Rankers, even though this has happened almost instantly, there has been a 15-minute break while Hurst wrote out some names, literally shaking them in a hat. Shake them nearer your microphone so the Rankers can listen out. Ooh. This will be on YouTube if you want to watch to make sure it's legit, but...
Not that you can see what's in here, but no. That's all the scrunchied names.
Excellent. And, you know, do you have the picture to show the people what they're going to win?
I do.
He doesn't.
I do.
Oh, he does. Well, he kind of does. He's looking for it by the look of things, Rankers, as he lost it. Is this all for naught?
No, I put it somewhere safe to keep it safe.
A deadly mistake at our age, my friend.
The question is, where did I put the safe place? Give me one second. Fill my cup, put some liquor in it. I'll have to think on that one.
We'll just cut that bit out. They don't need to know that their prize doesn't exist.
Yeah, it was flapping around. It's like, I need that to be somewhere safe. So I put it somewhere safe.
No, it's too safe.
Now I honestly couldn't tell you where it is. So anyway.
All right, here we go. Go on, let's do it. I'll put a drum roll noise in. Here it comes, everyone. It's Kovac. Congratulations, Kovac. I suspect you are going to get a drawing when you come to Meetup.
Yes, yes, or I'll send it in the post. Just send me your deet, or I'll bring it to Meetup and hand it over. I'll let the press know that we're going to be there. Nice. Oh, that was an interesting little interlude.
There you go. Hello at top5faceoff.co.uk. Kovac, send over your address. You see the wheel, Hurst.
I see the wheel.
It's colourful glory. Got rid of the one you wanted to do this week. So what are you seeing there that you'd like to tackle next week?
Did have a little nosy into Keanu movies. I'm pretty keen on chick flicks, and kitchen implements will be fun, I think. It would be
daft and fun.
Yeah, yes. A bit of silliness in our lives.
I'd quite like to do McDonald's menu items because it's been on there forever.
It has, and actually, yeah.
I would like to do that. But it's not up to us, Est. It's not up to us what's on the list. It's not up to us what we do next. It's up to our excellent Patreon. So if you want to put something on this list, become a Patreon. The bargain price of, Hurst?
A buck.
Well, a pound.
A pound.
Yes, unless you're Kovac.
Because
he pays an American money somehow. Yes. I believe it's like a buck 50. Shocking. Yeah. But yes.
Pound. Pound a month. That's all. I mean, that's nothing.
Make amazing decisions.
You can't even buy a bag of Haribo for a pound anymore.
No.
Right, spin it.
It's spinning. It was so close to McDonald's menu items.
Modes of transportation. You know what? I was looking at that thinking that's been there for a while as well. That's overdue. Apparently it's not. It's due.
Modes of transportation.
It's due. Gag. Enter your own gag there.
I think this was suggested by Patreon. Not convinced though, so if it wasn't you, I'm going to cut this bit out and you won't hear it. If it was, thank you. And we're going to cover modes of transportation next week.
Okay, no, that's good. I can work with that.
First, we're pretty much done.
I think we are.
All that remains is to tell the rankers to remember to vote. Very important to vote. Without you, rankers, there's no point in us just sitting here chatting.
And write us messages, man. We love your messages.
Write us messages. I'm going to have a crack at fixing the messaging system so all of your messages get through.
That will help.
If you could tell a friend about us, or a family member, or just some random passerby on the street, hey, that would be good. We'd like that, wouldn't we,
Yes? Yes. Give us a shout out on your socials.
Speaking of socials, we're on lots of them. We're on Blue Sky and Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe and all those other influencer type things.
Yeah, yeah. Like and subscribe if you think we're good.
Yes. Hurst, you sell pictures on the internet, I believe. Where could I go and buy one of your many, many pictures?
I'd go to doghouseart.co.uk.
Excellent. You should too, rankers. Please rewind this podcast for the next person that wants to listen, and we will see you next week with the top 5 modes of transportation.
All right, then. Till then, see you later, rankers. Love you.
Bye, rankers.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Need some nipple tassels so we can just move around. I wonder if I could do that. Anyway.
I'm still on nipple tassels.
Stop thinking about me waving my nip tassels, Hurst.
Can't.
Why would you?
Okay. See if we can get Northern to turn up.
Northern Essex?
Yeah.
No, we get his wife to turn up.
No, I can't do that. I'm not in an open relationship. I'm in a very solid, closed relationship. But I can maybe give Northern some tips on how to play Oasis and We the Ladies.
It wouldn't matter because his wife wouldn't let him
veto them anyway.
We're digressing on top of a digression here, Rankers. Apologies. This will probably end up at the end of the episode, but
lady was complaining to her husband that she was just fed up with him singing Oasis songs around the house and he needed to stop or she was going to leave him. And she was like, are you going to stop? And he said, maybe.
Yeah, I'm such a good liar.
Yeah, well done.
Carly must be constantly suspicious.
Well, why wouldn't she be? Just look at you. You're an Adonis of a man.
Gouty Adonis of a man.
I forgot you had gout. Gout.
It's a funny word that really hurts.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, yeah.
And I bought the album and I listened to the shit out of it. And I listened the shit. I listen.
No, that still doesn't work.
I listened to it. And it was good.
I listened the shit out of it. No,
listened.
I played the shit out of it.
Yeah, I played.
You can't do. You can't do passive voice. It's got to be active. Yes.
Yes. All right. Nice. There we go. Would you like a fact and an estimated fact about Slide Away?
Yes. Yes, I would. And you certainly haven't just reminded me that that's something we do.
Yeah, so that has been torturing my butt cheeks.
Right. You want to come out with a different one?
Probably better, hadn't I? I'll go back with steaming my clams. I quite like that, this one. That's been steaming my clams. That has been buttering my bread. You can't even buy a bag of Haribo for £1 anymore.
No. Well, you probably want them little ones.
Yeah, but you'd have to buy a bunch of those, wouldn't you?
Well, I have to buy a bunch of the normal size ones because I'm such a greedy twat.
Nice. I can't anymore because of my gout.
Yeah, it's just the gift that keeps on taking.
Sure does. Top 5 face off.